I have a brethren that's been talking to me the last couple of weeks, and he's interested in taking care of all of our audio stuff. And what we plan to do is possibly build us a platform in the back corner where all this mess won't be up here, and it'll be all controlled from back there. Quality of everything that we do should be some better. If the volume needs to come up on the music and down on the voice or vice versa, then we can handle all that. And the qualities of the service should be much better. So, Romans chapter 8, let's get this verse again. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, 29, and 30. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. That word called is invited. We talked about that this morning. And what I'm talking about is His purpose. His purpose for you, His purpose for me, His purpose individually, His purpose collectively, and His purpose for this whole city and, in fact, this whole world. Principalities and powers of the air and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. We'll read that also in just a second. But for right here, it's individual. His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed. And that word means molded. He wants to mold you into something. He took Adam from the dust of the earth and He molded him. He wants to conform you and make you just like He did Adam. He wants to mold you into the very image of God. To the very image of His Son. And His Son was all God and His Son was all man. He says in some places, the Son of Man. He says in other places, the Son of God. So He was all man and He was all God. And what He wants to do is conform you, mold you into that image. And the way He does that is by the renewing of the mind. You are born again. You are born again. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. You are a new creature, a new creation. He's recreated you. You've been transformed and translated out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of the Son of His love, or the kingdom of His dear Son, or in the kingdom of light. And that's what He's doing to you. He's molding and conforming you. And you're in the image of one thing or the other. You're being conformed to the image of something. You're being conformed to the image of His Son, which is His purpose. Or either you're being conformed to the image of the serpent. Remember, we've got two seed in the earth, right? Serpent seed and seed of the woman. We'll look at that in just a minute in more detail with Eve. Serpent seed and seed of the woman. Only two seeds. Now, I gave you a little bit this morning, and you're a little bit more settled in with the way I'm coming from and how I'm coming from this. And let me say it where it'll really grab you. You're either being conformed to the Son, or you're being conformed to the beast. The beast of Revelation. You're being conformed to the image of the Son. You're from the woman, which is the church, and you're coming forth and you're being conformed to the image of the Son, or you're being conformed to the image of the beast of Revelation. And now, whether the beast is a thing that will take place one day in the future is yet to be seen. We'll know in time. Time will tell. But I know this. I see some mighty beastly people. I see some people in this earth today that are beastly. And they have, to me, already a mark on their life. You are taking the mark of the Lord, Revelation 14, Revelation 22, or you're taking the mark of the beast, Revelation 13. Your life is being conformed to the image of God, and you're renewing your mind. And notice that the mark in Revelation is in the forehead. What is in your forehead? Your mind. Your mind is being conformed to the image of the mind of Christ. You have the mind of Christ. Now let that mind be in you. Or your mind is becoming very beastly, and you're conforming to the image of that beast. And all the way through the Bible, you'll have two seeds. Seed of the serpent and seed of the woman. All the way through. And I could give you examples all the way through, but just to save time, I'll end up over in Revelation. You have the Christ, the anointed, that comes forth, which bruises the head of the serpent. And then also you have the beast that comes forth. And both of those, if you can hear me, are many-membered corporate body men. It's not just, in my way of thinking, one individual beast. It is a corporate body of beasts. There is a corporate body Christ. There is a corporate body beast. There is darkness and there is light. Give it to you this way. Two women in the Bible. Babylon, the great harlot of Revelation chapter 17 and 18, and also the woman in Revelation chapter 12, arrayed with the sun, crown on her head, standing on the moon. All the way through, two. They're both producing seed. Both of them. Seed of the serpent, seed of the woman. And you're being conformed to one of those images. Serpent seed or seed of the woman. And right there, his purpose is for you to be conformed to the image of his son. That's what he wants you conformed to. One or the other. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and that's the word kaleo. That's the word church, ekkaleo, ekklesia. You're called out and put into the church. Them he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. And so many Christians today are sitting on their glorified bottoms and not doing anything in the kingdom of God. Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to go ahead and read while you're turning. I'm reading from 9, 10, and 11. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, that he hath purposed, I'm talking about his purpose in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, there is a time all this will happen. And it is the dispensation of the fullness of the time. Ephesians 1, verse 10. Fullness of time. All this will happen in the fullness of time. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, he says there is a salvation that is yet to be revealed to us, that has been stored up for us, for those who will be here in the last day. And Paul says that we are the heirs of the end of this world or the end of this age. And it's now that he wants to do these things, and I'll go through it again in Genesis, that this is the sixth day, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in the earth, even in him, and whom also we have obtained an inheritance, even being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things according to his counsel and his own will. And it is not by chance you're here tonight. It's his purpose that you're here tonight. All things work according to his will. The thing I want, though, from this particular passage of Scripture is that it is time. It's the fullness of the times. In Ephesians 3, all this I covered this morning, so there's no need in me taking a lot of time with it tonight. Verse 9, 10, and 11. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Paul's trying to make people see something here. I'm trying to make people see something here. The fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now, he wants it done now, faith is, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. God wants to raise up a church with wisdom. Manifold wisdom, many-sided wisdom of God, a church with all the answers. Remember that from this morning. He's raising you, and in you lives Christ and dwells Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. And in Him is hidden all wisdom and all knowledge. He wants to have a church raised up that can speak to the principalities and the powers in heavenly places and give them what they need to know to thoroughly thrash the devil. Jesus thoroughly thrashed the devil. The man that will be raised up in the last day will thoroughly thrash the devil, just as Jesus did. And it will show the world the wisdom of God according to His eternal purpose, which is purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. His purpose, as I'm trying to show you this morning and tonight, I'm putting it to you just three principles, threefold. Individually, it's for you individually to be conformed to an image. Everybody say image again. Image. You're to be conformed to an image, and that image is the image of His Son. You are being conformed to the image of His Son or the image of the beast. Secondly, the fullness of the times is when this will happen. The end of the age. The sixth day. I'll hit it again in a minute. This is the sixth day that we're living in. We're 6 days from Adam, according to Peter's Peter's figures. Calculations. According to Peter's calculations, we are 6 days from Adam, and I'll do that again for you in just a second. So we'll make sure we get that one. The fullness of the times, this is it. And then thirdly, He wants a church raised up that will show the devil something. Show principalities and powers the many-sided wisdom of God. Individually, time, and then collectively. The church, and then it's time for the church, and then you individually to be conformed to the image of Christ. Genesis chapter 1. Now I'll start about where we left off this morning. I'll just repeat some of it. His purpose is not for us to do the best we can in this life and then go to heaven and walk on streets of gold. That's not His purpose for you. His purpose for you is to be conformed to something and to the image of something, and that image is His Son. Verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." The image of His Son. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. What day was man created? 6 days. Peter says, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, Peter says that one day to the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. One day to the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. By that equation, we are now living 6,000 years from Adam, or we're living in the sixth day. In the sixth day, God created a man. Not in the first, second, third, fourth, or fifth, in the sixth day. And I told you before, this morning, He didn't create him in the first, second, third, fourth, or fifth because we would have wanted to help him. Let me do that, Daddy. Let me create the whales. Let me create the birds. Let me help you, Daddy. He created man in the sixth day. He got it all into motion. He put it all together. Then he created him a man in his image, a God man in his image, to let him run it. And God rested the seventh day. Man moved into the rest in the seventh day with God. Man rested in the seventh day with God. 6,000 years. A man is being created. The 6,000 years are 6 days. It is the church. It is the body of Christ, created in the image of God. You are in the image of God. You're being transformed, translated into the very image of God. In His likeness, in His image, you're going to do what He done. And He said, greater things than I have done will you do. You're going to be created in His likeness and in His image in the sixth day. This is the sixth day. We're going to move into the seventh day of rest with Him. And if 1 day is 1,000 years, then it holds up with Scripture. For the millennial reign is 1,000 years. The seventh day is 1,000 years. There is no end to the seventh day. You can read the book of Genesis. You'll find that every day has an end to it except the seventh day. There is no end to the seventh day. That's millennia, and that's eternity. God is going to create from Adam an Adam-type man, a second Adam-type man, in the image and in the likeness of God. He will rule and reign this earth because He will be given total dominion of it. Adam was given dominion. Verse 28, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion. Over, 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 over. Overcomer, 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 overcomer. 2 Corinthians 5:17, you have been created again. You are a new creation. God has molded you into something brand new. But if you get over to Revelations, you'll find that you are an overcomer. The majority of the Christian world is totally deceived into believing that they'll rule and reign with Christ. When I read that he that overcometh shall rule and reign with Christ. And in chapters 2 and chapters 3 of Revelation, you'll find 7 times he uses the word he that overcometh. 7 of them, the fullness of them. First one, he that overcometh will I grant to eat of the tree of life. He that overcometh will not be hurt by the second death. He that overcometh will I grant to eat of the hidden manna. He that overcometh will I give to rule the nation. He that overcometh, the fifth one, will I arraign in white raiment. Sixth one, he that overcometh will I make a pillar of the temple. Seventh one, he that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, as I overcame and sat with my Father in His throne. 7 overcomings, a fullness of overcoming. Tree of life, what is that? That's the body of Christ. I grow fruit, I want you to eat of it. I want you to grow fruit, I want to eat of it. I want to get life from you, I want you to get life from me. Second death. What is that? Judgment. You won't be hurt by the judgment. He that overcometh, the third one, hidden manna, will I grant to eat of the hidden manna. What is that? That's the word. He gave the word daily. He gave the manna daily in the wilderness. You're to eat the word daily. He that overcometh will I grant to rule the nations. You're going to rule and reign. You're going to dictate who rules and reigns. We've talked about that. How right today the church is dictating who the the President of the United States is. You can't be in that White House anymore unless you're one of us. And it will be that way in Lafayette and any other city. Rule the nation. Will I grant, fifth one, in white raiment. What is that? Righteousness. Put on the righteousness of God. Not his filthy rags. His righteousness. Sixth one, the pillar of the church. We all know what that is. You have got to get in a local assembly. Pillar of the temple. The temple is you. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You have got to be made a pillar in his temple, of his church. And the seventh one, he that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne as I overcame and sit with him in his throne. You've got to put on Christ. You've got to overcome. Seven overcomings. There's a fullness of overcoming. That is the coming into the nature and the likeness and the image of God who created us. So what do we see in Adam? In Adam we see a man created in the image of God, in his likeness, who is given total dominion and will rule and reign this earth by an overcoming lifestyle. He that overcometh. Let's get to Eve. I do want to get her today. I could just stay right there for a little bit longer, but let's just go to Eve, chapter 3. This morning in the Sunday school class, a couple of things hit me as Brother Don was sharing from this very scripture, or this very chapter. Look at verse 15. We all know what happens here. This is the fall of man. In verse 15, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed." How many seeds? Two seeds. Serpent seed and seed of the woman. "It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Who is the woman in the scriptures? Who is the woman in the New Testament? The church. From that woman will come a man-child ministry, Revelation chapter 12, who will rule and reign with a rod of iron. And what the serpent doesn't want is for the woman to get pregnant. Because when she gets pregnant, she's going to bring forth a man-child ministry who will crush his head. And so what he does is he deceives and decepts and puts other things into our minds and into our heads to keep us from being conformed into that image in which we all know we should be. Now we play dumb, but we really know what the program of God is. We know that we are to be conformed to an image. We know that we are to be Christ-like. We play dumb, but we really know what the program is. We are to come into that nature of Christ Jesus, our Lord. "And the seed of the woman shall bruise, crush his head." And what he doesn't want you to do, what the serpent doesn't want you to do, is get pregnant. He doesn't want the woman to get pregnant, and neither does he want you to get pregnant spiritually. You are a tripartite being, spirit, soul, body. Fuma, psyche, soma, spirit, soul, body. God wants to preserve you holy, spirit, soul, body. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. There is a female part of you. Even the men. In the spirit realm, and it is your mind. If Satan comes and tempts you, how does he come? What does he talk to? He talks to the woman, doesn't he? Doesn't he? Right here in Genesis 3, who's he talking to? Who did he talk to? Adam or Eve? Eve. The woman. In your mind, it's a womb. And I don't care what principle you look at. You want to use the ground. The ground is a womb. You put a seed in that ground, it'll bust through that ground and bring forth some fruit. You put a natural seed into the womb of a woman, something's going to bust out. It's got to. You put a seed into the womb of your mind, something's going to come forth. When he comes to you, he comes and he talks to the woman. Your mind. The carnal mind. Read about it in Romans 8. And the carnal mind is enmity to God. He hates the carnal mind. It's the enemy of God. And when Satan comes, he talks to the woman. He talks to your mind. And if you're hanging around the wrong tree, and you start eating the wrong fruit, you fall. Isn't that right? If they'd have been around that other tree, if they'd have been around the tree of life, instead of around the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, he never would have got to talk to that woman. When he comes, he talks to the woman. And so, women, you see, I'm not talking about you. He talks to my woman, too. Who does he tempt? He tempts my mind. And if my mind makes my body fall, my spirit has to fall with it. My Adam has to fall with it. It does eat too. Is that good? Amen. He talks to the woman. And you are being conformed to one image or the other. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, or the tree of life. Two trees. Two seeds. Two women. Babylon or the church. That's good teaching. Well, I didn't know it was going to be this good. I'm enjoying this. I never taught this before. He talks to the woman. So in Eve, what we see is a man-child coming forth who will bruise the head of the serpent. We see a ministry coming forth who is going to crush the serpent's head. The purpose of God then in Eve, which is the church, is to bring forth a ministry who will crush the heads of the principalities and the powers and spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. That's corporately. And in you individually, it's to bring forth a ministry within your body, within you, within your three tripartite being, that will crush his head. So the principles then that I'm setting forth to you now in Adam is that you are being created into the image and likeness of God, and in Eve, you're to bring forth that ministry and crush his head. Let's look real quick at Brother Noah, chapter 6 of Genesis. The purpose of God. Concerning Noah. And you can take any character of the Bible and do this with it. You can see the purpose of God and make it applicable to your life. And what good is the word if you don't apply it? It's just words, just like any other book. But if you take this word and it becomes seed into your woman, and you begin to produce something with it, a ministry and some fruit, and he'll know you not by what you say, but he'll know you by your fruit, and let some people start pulling some of that fruit off of your tree and partaking of some life from you, you began to minister the word of life to people. And there is nothing more important than people. Nothing. When I got that revelation, it changed my life. For I am dead, and my life is hid with Christ in God. I'm in the ark. I want to show you what the ark is. We are basically waiting for deliverance from one of two places. We either want Jesus to come and rapture us out of here so that we won't have any trials and tribulations, or we want some man of God of faith and power to come and lay hands on us with fire flying out of the end of his fingers and deliver us from all of our problems. Isn't that right? But within you is a Christ. There's a Christ in you. And that verse in Colossians 1:27 says that that's your hope. Not Jesus coming again. And not some man with faith and power. But your hope is the Christ in you. It is to do the work. It has all wisdom. It has the mind of Christ. It has all that He is and all that He does. It has the spirits, the fruits of the spirits of love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, temperance, and faith. It has the gifts of the Spirit. It has tongues, prophecies, and interpretations, and discernment, and wisdom, and knowledge, and healings, and faith, and miracles. It is the prophet, priest, and the king within you. All that Christ is in you. All that He does is in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Not me. It's not for you to come down here and let me whack you on the head. Your hope is the Christ in you. It is to conform you and mold you into the image of God, so that you can grow some fruit and minister to Lafayette, and minister to Tryon, and minister to Somerville, and minister to the surrounding areas. That's what it's all about. That's ruling and that's reigning. Ruling and reigning your life. Ruling and reigning your city. But first, in you, the hope of glory. Brother Noah, there are three arks in the Bible. Noah's ark. Then there is the ark that Moses was put into. Amram and Jochebed, Moses' mom and dad, stuck him in an ark of bulrush, put him in a river. And the third ark is the ark of the covenant of the Lord of the whole earth. And in it was placed the unbroken tables of stone with the law of Sinai, Aaron's rod that budded, and the golden pot of manna. Something was put in all three of those arks for preservation. The flood came in Noah, and that ark preserved those eight. Eight is the number of the new beginning. Moses was put in the ark of the bulrush. Moses was preserved. The other babies were thrown into the river and drowned. Moses was preserved in that ark. And in the ark of the covenant of the Lord of the whole earth is Aaron's rod that budded, tables of stone, and the golden pot of manna. I could give you some spiritualities of all of those, but just to save time, just to show you that that's for preservation. And 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says that He wants to preserve you holy, W-H-O-L-L-Y, holy, all of you, tripartite, spirit, soul, body. All of you. He's interested in your body. He's interested in your spirit. He's interested in your soul. All of you. He wants to preserve it. He wants it whole and holy. The ark is a type of Christ, where it speaks of preservations. I'll just give you this real quick. The Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth, you know that represents Christ. the veil is rent in the New Testament, and when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of the whole earth touched the priest carrying that ark, carrying that word, when their feet touched the Jordan, it veiled, it rent it. That veil rent, and they crossed, and they had access to Canaan. The veil is rent by that ark, and the Ark of the Covenant the Ark of Noah here is a type of Christ. And in the 6th chapter, in the 14th verse, you'll see some descriptions of that ark. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. Now that word pitch is the same Hebrew word that's used for atonement. Atonement. That ark was atoned. It had the blood on it. Same Hebrew word. Within and without. And what that ark done was protect them from trials and tribulations of that flood. It lifted them above it. And that's what he wants to do with you. He wants to lift you above the trials and the tribulations, but you got to be in the ark. Colossians 3:3. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. And if you're in the ark, which is a type of Christ, you're hidden from the tribulations of this earth. They'll come. You'll have some hard times all around you, but you'll rise above them because you are under the blood. You are under the atonement. And that thing was pitched inside and out. There ain't no way it can get in. If he comes looking for you, if the enemy comes looking for you, he can't find you because you're hid with Christ in God. Get in the ark. Get in preservation. Secondly, and this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of, the length of the ark shall be 300 cubits. That's the number, 300 is the number of divine deliverance. Gideon's army had 300 men. So you see a divine thought here, divine deliverance. You'll be delivered divinely. And it shall be 50 cubits. What that means is 50 is the number of the anointing. Pentecost came 50 days. Pente means 50. Pentecost is 50. It's the anointed number. So you see in that the anointing and the height of 30 cubits. That's maturity. So you see in Christ you can get all of these things. Divine deliverance, the anointing, and maturity. A window shalt thou make to the ark. One light. Who is the light? Christ. I am the light of the world, he said. One light in that ark. How many doors in the ark? One. I am the door. No man can enter into the sheepfold except by me. You can't get in the ark except by him. The ark is Christ. Get in the ark. Get into the preservations of God. Get lifted above the tribulation. Let them come. Who cares? I'm hid with Christ in God. I'm under the blood. I'm pitched with pitch. I'm anointed and atoned for inside and out. Amen. I'm in the ark. And it speaks not of just Christ in you, but it also speaks of you putting on Christ. Put on Christ, Paul said. Put him on. So not only should the inward man be renewed, but also my outward man should be renewed and be putting on Christ. The Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of Noah, the Ark of Moses, all speaks of preservation. Get in the ark. Amen. Then this thought, and then we'll stop for tonight. Two birds released. I think you'll like this. Two birds released from that ark. A raven and a dove. A raven and a dove. Two things are loosed right now, right today, in the fullness of these times in this earth. Two things released. Christ and the spirit of Antichrist. Spirit of Christ and the spirit of Antichrist. 1 John says that even now there are many Antichrists. He wrote that 2,000 years ago. If there are many then, how many are now? Let me give you this while I'm on it. The word Antichrist does not mean that which is against Christ or that which is coming against Christ. That word anti means substitute. Substitute Christ. Substitute anointing. What is there in your life that substitutes for Christ? What is that hellish thing in your life that keeps you from coming to church, that keeps you from praying, that hellish thing in your life that keeps you from studying the Word of God? What is it? What is that substitute? That's the Antichrist. John says that even now are many Antichrists. I'll just give you this, the word Antichrist is not used in the book of Revelation. Beast, but not Antichrist. Two birds loose. I got to get back to my birds. Two birds loose, a raven and a dove. Two things loosed in the earth, Christ and Antichrist. Two bodies, body of Christ, body of Antichrist. The raven went out and it didn't come back. Remember the story? The dove went out and came back. The raven is an unclean bird. It will eat dead flesh. And what would have been floating out there on top of the water after that flood? Dead flesh. Dead flesh. That raven could have eaten anything out there. It didn't come back. It could survive. It could make it. It's an unclean bird. The dove is a clean bird. All it eats is the seed, the word. The dove is a clean bird. There wasn't anything out there alive for it to light on. It came back. The dove of the Holy Ghost today is the same way. All it will light on is that which is alive and clean. The raven today is the same way. Dead flesh. Strong word of the Lord. Many churches are nothing but dead flesh. And if you don't believe that, you go to some of their services. It is dead. It is only a moral thing they're satisfying. There is no worship. There is no praise. There is no spirit, which is the dove, in it. I want the dove of the Holy Ghost on my life. I want the dove of the Holy Ghost on your lives. I want the dove of the Holy Ghost on this church. I want the dove of the Holy Ghost on this city. I want the dove. I want Him to light on something alive. I want Him to light on something that's got some seed in it. I want Him to light on something that He can feast on and eat. I want to give some fruit to the dove. And unless what I preach is alive, I got to change what I preach. Unless I teach what is alive, I've got to change what I teach because I want the dove on it. Unless our church has the government of divine order, we've got to change our government. I want the dove on it. Unless my family has the dove of the Holy Ghost on it, I've got to change the way I operate my family. I want the dove of the Holy Ghost on it. It's got to be that way. It cannot be any other way. I want the dove. It will not light on dead flesh. I don't want the raven. I don't want that carnivorous bird. I want the dove. Can you say amen to that? One more thought. Just Abraham real quickly. We won't even turn. I'll just give it to you. Abraham, his main purpose. Let me get back to give you my sum on what I'm seeing in Noah. In Noah, we see a people who will be preserved in the ark. who has the dove of the Holy Ghost on it. For I am dead, you are dead, but you're hid with Christ in God. And God is life. Jesus is life, and in Him there is no death at all. The dove of the Holy Ghost came upon Him and did not leave. If we are in the anointing, the dove of the Holy Ghost will be on us and will be in the ark. Abraham. Abraham's primary purpose was to bring forth seed. Isaac. Isaac brought forth Jacob. Jacob brought forth a whole bunch of them, but basically Joseph and Benjamin. But Abraham's seed, if you'll study it, and I'll just throw this at you and you can look it up this week, is given to you in three realms. Three realms. Dust of the earth, sand of the sea, stars of the heaven. Dust of the earth, sand of the sea, stars of the heaven. Now they're still seed of Abraham, but they're dust, sand, and stars. And Genesis 3:15 that we just talked about and read about a while ago says all the serpent can eat is what? Dust. Dust. Now they're still Abraham's seed, but who's eating them? The serpent. And I talked to you the other night and gave you that little skinny serpent over there in Genesis chapter 3 became a great big dragon over there in Revelation chapter 12. He ate a lot of dust. He ate a lot of God's people. Dust. Dust of the earth. Sand of the sea. Now, you're in a little higher realm when you're the sand of the sea and you're Abraham's seed. But if you ever saw a serpent go across sand, it leaves its tread marks. Sure you have. There are a lot of God's people who are the sand of the sea, but still are down there in that realm where they just get wallowed on by Satan, by that serpent. He just wallows across them and he leaves their mark on their life. But Ephesians tells me, 2:6, that I have been raised up and that I sit in heavenly places